morning and all who are here today. I never cease to be amazed at how little people know about God's Word and how they respect it even less when they decide to use it.
When it comes to...
There we go. It's on. When it comes to understanding God's Word, so much of it is obviously taken out of context or not even considered when it comes to its use today. Not that long ago, a politician was promoting a particular view of voting. And many of us have been aware of the fact that just in recent years, there have been those who would go to polling areas, and they would have slogans on their shirts or on their hats that would promote a particular candidate. And if it were a hot day, they were handing out bottles of water, or they were handing out cookies or food to those who were standing in line. It's a form of campaigning, but it's against the law to do that. And so it was brought out that that should not be done. If there were a particular problem with people needing water, that those who ran the polling booth were allowed to, you know, pass out water. It's not wrong to, you know, help somebody who is very thirsty or having a problem with the heat, having to wait in line to vote. But it's this idea of campaigning, you know, sort of like I'll buy a vote, you know, by this food and this water. And by opposing that sort of thing, this particular politician was saying, we need to remember the words of Jesus to feed the hungry and to give water to the thirsty. Now, you can have your political views all you want. Don't bring the Lord into this. How many people go to vote, by the way, so that they can get something to drink because they're thirsty? How many people go and stand in line to vote so they can get some food because, bless their hearts, they're hungry? Jesus was talking about people who didn't have food at home. They didn't have food. They were hungry. Water wasn't available at a tap just any old where you go to the house and fill up a glass of water from the faucet. They would be thirsty if they could not go to the well itself and draw the water, or they had no one who would do that. But we misuse Scripture like that because, as we talked about this morning in the Bible class, we have a particular agenda. And somehow we want to belittle the woman, and so we'll say, well, look what the Bible says. But the Bible doesn't belittle the woman any more than the Bible belittles the idea of being gentle. Used to, you could go, and probably still, and there are still some venues where you would see a sign that says restrooms, and you would walk down a hallway or something, and then it would say gentlemen on the door and women, gentlemen or ladies. The idea of gentleman, as we say the word, was the idea of a gentle man. And a gentle man did not mean that he wasn't a man of character, that he wasn't a man of strength. It didn't mean that he wasn't a man of passion. That he wasn't a man of character. That he didn't have morals, or a backbone, as we would say. But today, it gets to be used that way. Peter, as he was talking, as he was addressing a husband and a wife, in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1, he was talking about wives being in subjection to their own husbands. And he said in verse 3, He talks about their adorning. Let it not be the outward adorning of the braiding of hair, or wearing of jewels, or gold, or putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in an incorruptible apparel, of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. Did you notice he didn't say, let it be the hidden woman of the heart? He was talking and addressing these women, but he says the hidden man of the heart. What he was about ready to say applies to all souls, all spirits. As far as God is concerned, the meek and the quiet spirit is of great price. It's applied to Jesus. It's applied to Moses. Moses? Yes. Moses, the one who took on Pharaoh? Yes. Who wouldn't back down and wasn't stirred by the threats of Pharaoh? Yeah, that Moses. You mean Moses, the one when everybody is quaking in their boots, says, stand still and see the salvation of Jehovah and parts the sea. That Moses was referred to as the meekest man on the earth. We sing a song, Jesus, meek and gentle, Son of God Most High. Gentleness and meekness don't mean weakness. The hidden man of the heart, that meek and quiet spirit, is in the sight of God of great price, whether it be male or female. This morning, I'd like for us to consider the gentle spirit of the Christian. In Philippians 4 and verse 5, Paul said, let your gentleness be known to all men. Writing to Timothy, he says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle towards all. And yet Jude says in Jude verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. There's no contradiction. Because gentleness doesn't mean weakness. Gentleness doesn't mean compromise. You can approach a situation in which you need to contend for the faith when people are seeking to pervert the faith. And you can do that with that meek and quiet spirit. The quietness there didn't mean keeping your mouth shut. After all, we talked about this morning, Philip had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Did they not have a quiet spirit? Of course. There's nothing to indicate that they were ungodly women. You can have a quiet spirit. And in those days, with the gifts of the Spirit, you could be a prophetess. They didn't contradict each other. The quiet spirit was opposed to the angry spirit, was opposed to the spirit that stirred strife. In any servant of the Lord, Timothy, you're an evangelist. By the way, here Paul has told Timothy that God didn't give us a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. He's telling Timothy, you need to stand up and you need to set things in order and you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to remind brethren of this and remind brethren of that. But do it without striving. Do it in a gentle way. The Christian is to possess a gentle spirit. And so my question this morning and the answer from four passages, what does it mean to have a gentle spirit? Defined, you have two words that are used here in Philippians 4, when Paul says, let your gentleness be known to all men. It's a word that means graciousness, forbearance, moderation, fair, reasonable. And in fact, I think it's the King James, American Standard, says, let your moderation be known to all men. A very similar Greek word is used in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, where he said that a Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all. It means mildness, agreeable, easy to speak to. That's the point. We use the phrase, you know, and in fact I heard it repeated this morning, in a political sense, you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable. Easy to speak to, approachable. Can people approach you in disagreement? Or are they afraid because of, you come back like a bulldog? There's a Greek word constantly used throughout Scripture that talks about the quarreling or the wranglings of men. Talks about certain masters who would be harsh or froward, irritable, one who brings about strife, the works of the flesh. And so this stands in opposition to that. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and said, do it in a gentle way. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You fight for truth by taking the sword of the Spirit, not the sword of the mouth, for instance. I can shout you down. I can out-talk you. You can say this, but I can say, yeah, but what? That's a carnal tactic. But you take God's word and you silence them with it. You stand for the truth. You contend for the truth. You fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. But you don't have to strive in doing it. Because our weapons are mightier. That's what Paul's point. They're not carnal, but are mighty to the casting down. So let's look at these verses. The first one I want us to notice is, first of all, what is the source of gentleness? You recall James chapter 3, it starts off with the problem of the tongue. And yet we all know that the tongue is controlled by the heart. And so in verse 13 he says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. Things that people don't see go together. Meekness of wisdom. Meekness is weakness. No, it isn't. And true wisdom points a person toward this attitude. See the contrast? If you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth, or lie to the truth, as one translation says. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, it's demonic. So what is the source of gentleness? It's not going to be from the devil. Look at verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Some translations say there will be confusion. And so when you get this confusion, this wrangling, this fussing, this fighting, whether it happens in this building or it happens over the telephone or whatever, you've got a spirit that is coming that is demonic. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason. That's why some translators say reasonable. But we use the word reasonable today in the sense that, well, that makes sense to me. That's not the way it was used when those translations which use that meant. It meant the ability to reason. Therefore, open to reason is a good translation. Full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness, or the fruit of righteousness, other translations say, is sown in peace by those who make peace. You get the fruit of righteousness when you're the one who is sowing peace. Again, verse 17, the wisdom from above is gentle. Gentleness comes from a person who's listening to what God has to say and who doesn't get caught up in this world in the way in which they behave. So that source shows that bitter envy and self-seeking and disputing, all these wranglings and so forth, these are from the devil, really. They are demonic in that respect. It causes confusion and evil. And it provides Satan with all sorts of opportunities. Which one of us would want to do that? Well, we don't. Nobody is saying when we are in this mode that we're wanting Satan to win. You wouldn't be here this morning if you wanted Satan to win. You wouldn't be joining us electronically if you wanted Satan to win. But we actually give him the avenue to do that when we do not display the proper gentle spirit. The characteristics that we saw there in James chapter 3 of, the characteristics of peace, gentleness, willingness to yield. You can appeal to that person in reason. All of these things come from God because he talks about that which is from above. And God teaches and demonstrates each one of these things. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Jesus was gentle. You take the woman who was brought, the woman caught in adultery. And Jesus is gentle with her, not excusing her. Told her to stop sinning. Don't do that anymore. But he's gentle with her. Whereas the others, should we stone her? Yeah. Well, are you going to stone the fella? You say she was caught in adultery. If you caught her, then you caught the guy too. Where's he? No, they were hypocrites. But the characteristics of peace, gentleness, willing to yield, mercy are from God. You look at the long suffering of Jesus with his own apostles. And how many times he had to deal with them in a gentle way. And of course, then the fruit. What comes, that last sentence there, the fruit of righteousness, what does righteousness yield? Comes from a benevolent, forgiving spirit, a spirit that's looking to unify. A spirit that thinks in terms of companionship. A spirit that is trying to bring about peace and sow peace. And it's something we have to remind ourselves of. Because again, we can get caught up in the moment. I try not to interject myself into the situation, but there have been times, a lot of times, in going into a particular situation where I feel there may be some tension and strife, I always pray a private prayer and ask God to give me a spirit of love in gentleness, and try to bring about this resolve, you know, in a way that will honor and glorify him. Because I know Satan's devices, and I know that when tensions are high, Satan is going to tell you, this is your cause. You need to fight for it. And if no one else does, you better do it, okay? And you go in there like that, and you're bound to give him a pathway you don't mean to give him. So, gentleness. Badly needed in families today. Ever had family discussions and they got heated? And some of that happens when there are not those in there trying to bring the... Dad would always talk about trying to bring the temperature down. Let's bring it down a little bit. Friendships get destroyed that way. Marriages have problems. But there needs to be, sometimes we say, a cooling off period. So you got to deal with the issues. You can't sit there and ignore them. They don't go away. They'll be there until they're resolved. But I've never seen marriage problems resolved. Because someone could shout louder than the other person, and the person who couldn't shout very loud says, okay, I give up, everything's fine. That never happens. That's why there are problems in the workplace, problems in the Lord's church. Anytime you get people together, There'll be problems if there isn't a gentle spirit. Let's look at these four passages then. Colossians 3 and verse 8. He had been talking about things you put off. And he says, so now you put all of those things away. You put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. Don't lie to one another. Be sincere. In other words, be honest. You put off the old self and its practices. Put on the new self, which is being renewed after the knowledge. Where does that come from? The wisdom from above. After the image of its creator. Who's our creator? God and his son. There's no Jew or Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. There's no barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But in Christ, but Christ is all and in all. He's talking about as a Christian. We don't go for all of this cultural stuff. Culture is to be controlled by Christianity. Culture doesn't define it. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. In this passage, then, we see we put off bad character. Those things we put away. The new man is renewed in knowledge. That's the same thing that you find in Romans 12 and verse 2. There's that transformation by the renewing of the mind. And so nothing has changed, whether between Paul's writing to the Colossians or to the Romans. We have to have a renewed knowledge in mind. It's according to, verse 10, the image of Christ, the one who created. We should be like our master. That's the point. We should be like him in all things. And Jesus was a gentle person. It's a renewed man. It's not like we've always been that way, but we can change is the point. And so therefore he speaks of kindness or meekness, which is a sweet disposition, the goodness of a heart. I have a good heart when I have a sweet disposition. Doesn't mean I'm not going to disagree. It doesn't mean I'm not going to stand up for this, because I will. All Christians will. You buy the truth, you sell it not. There's no compromise on truth. But truth, because of its very nature, is extremely powerful. And I don't need to aid it by any kind of carnal means. I've told you before about a fella who in trying to be persuasive or get his way or to make his point, he happened to be about, you know, I don't know, 6'2", 6'3". He was a big guy. I mean, he had a big chest, you know, and he'd come right up to you and almost bend over on you and be talking to you like that. That was his tactic. And you would see folks, you would see them when he would start to do it. They'd start backing away. And he'd keep moving forward on them, you know, and trying to make his point, press his point. Finally, one time, when I was the recipient of that, I had to smell his bad breath. Because I wasn't going to move. And just let him know, that's a carnal tactic. So here I am, you know. I stand 6 foot, but I'm still bending back, you know. And I don't want to pick on Carol here, but, you know, he would never do that, a gentle man. But, you know, I was just like this, and finally he finally backed off of that. Carnal tactics. We don't do that. And so there's no excuses for not being gentle. There are those, well, that's just not my personality. Or I've been told I'm a naturally aggressive person. There are just some things that irritate me. Oh, really? Have you ever been irritated? Everybody in the world that I know of has been irritated. But we can still deal with that without being irritable or pushy. Why? Because we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Here Paul talks about this renewed according to knowledge. The second passage, 1 Peter 3, and in verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love. You see where this is? In verses 1 through 7, he was talking about husband-wife relationship. But what makes that relationship a good relationship makes any relationship good. So he broadens now, beginning in verse 8. Have a unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. All of those things, you see, go toward making a good marriage. But they go toward making good among situations where you have a lot of people or people together. Do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. For to this, right here, to this were you called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Wait, isn't that what Paul talked about? Yeah, that's right. Why would Paul and Peter say anything different? For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Oftentimes we'll quote this verse and not see ourselves in it. The people doing evil here in this passage, in this context, are the people whose lips are speaking deceit, whose tongue is saying evil things, who isn't doing this up here. How do I have a gentle heart according to 1 Peter 3 in verse 8? Well, first of all, he talks about this one mind, this compassion. Some translations say sympathetic. He talks about having love and being tender-hearted. I think the old King James uses the word being pitiable, having pity. We use that in a different sense today. We use it really in a condescending sort of way. But it means to be tender-hearted, of a humble mind. The King James says courteous, but our word courteous means something different today than the way it was used when it's a good translation. But you think about it, there's not much difference between humble mind and courteous, because a courteous person has a humble mind to say thank you, no thank you, to say pardon me, excuse me. This is what we're supposed to have. We don't return evil for evil, reviling for revilings. You know, the word fight that, you know, you said something, I'll come back at you. We don't do that. Jesus didn't do that. He brings that out. You remember in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Blessings don't come from hot tempers, from this idea of I'm going to get even, you know. I'm going to hit first and ask questions later. That type of attitude. God's people forego certain rights in order to be considerate, willing to yield. When you yield in a situation where a person's being very carnal, they're wrapped up in their carnality and so forth. When you yield to that, you're not excusing that. You're not saying that kind of behavior is okay. You're just waiting your turn to try to correct it. And we need to do that. Nobody is saying, to be a gentle person, you just turn and walk away. No, you deal with it. And that's the point. You can be gentle and still be passionate, fighting against error, exposing sin. Gentleness is not characterized by a weak spirit of compromise. We don't compromise. God's people do not compromise on what is revealed in His Word. Opinions that we may have, that's something else. Meekness, from the Greek word protes, is the patient calmness of godliness. It is a work of the Spirit. It is, in Galatians 6 and verse 1, Paul said, when you see a brother overtaken in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one, yet in a spirit of meekness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Which simply means then, you see a brother overtaken in a trespass? Address it, but do it in a proper way. Then Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. He is, in a whole list of things he's telling us, remember, we have this transformed mind or spirit. And there are a lot of things he tells us then that we would be doing. But here in verses 17 through 19, he says, repay no one evil for evil. How many times have we seen that so far? We've seen it in Colossians. We've seen it there. Peter talks about it. You don't render reviling for reviling, evil for evil. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of God. This right here is something that I have to remind myself of on a regular basis. When dealing with situations where gentleness is going to help, you've got to think about what you're going to say next. Not think about what to say next, which we have that tendency to do. Somebody is talking and we're sitting there thinking, what am I going to say next? But think about what you're going to say. Is it what's going to accomplish good? Do what is honorable in the sight of all. You got to think about that. You have to think, what will be the honorable thing to do? And he's saying that within this context, not just right and wrong, but in the context of, if it's possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. You've got to think, how will this disrupt peace, or how will it promote it? It's going to be one way or the other. As much as depends on you. You can approach a situation with gentleness. You can approach it with, if it's a matter of God's word, with truth. Even in matters of opinion, there'll be some things that might be said as to, you know, what might be right or what might be wrong. And do it in the proper way, even having prayed about it. And there are others that just simply, they're not going to hear it. That's the way it was with the Lord. They're just not going to hear it. At various occasions when people were stirring up things against Paul and others, you know, Paul would try to quiet the mob, you know, but sometimes they didn't want to be quieted. Take a town clerk, have to come out and do it. Somebody else. Sometimes people won't listen to it. But don't avenge yourself. Leave it to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so in Romans 12, we see that we don't seek personal vengeance, but give every effort to be peaceable with all men. However, that doesn't forbid protecting self and family from harm. People have taken this passage out of context, thinking that you cannot protect your family. You have that responsibility. Calling the authorities, reporting crimes, that's not taking personal vengeance. We know that Paul, when there was a plot against him, he let it be known to the Roman authorities that the Jews were trying to kill him, so that they take him and ferry him away from that situation. But he wasn't taking any vengeance. He's simply appealing to the authorities, Romans 13, to do what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to reward righteous and punish the wicked. Paul wasn't the wicked. And so he appealed to those authorities, and rightly so. So again, being gentle doesn't mean that you become a martyr. But it should be the last resort. We should do everything possible to seek peace and to promote goodwill. That's why I've said through the years, we should do our very best to convert the person that we have an issue with, especially if they're among God's people. Convert them as opposed to fight them. If they have a spirit that shouldn't be, if they're saying things they shouldn't be saying, if they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, we should be trying to, first by our own example, as well as our appeal in a gentle spirit, to make changes. We all need to change. We've all had to change in some areas. And I would suggest you probably responded to those who made the appeal to change in a calm, reasonable way. Those usually are the ones you respond to. A friend, someone that you had confidence in, and you listened to them, and you made a change in your life. That's what will happen. That's what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 12. So many times we worry about this. It's my right to do this or that. We shouldn't be seeking our rights as much as our responsibilities. The last passage, Matthew 5 and verse 38, Jesus said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you. Do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. This is all said within a context again. Jesus is not talking about the fact that you should become a rug that everybody wipes their feet on. But he is talking about how it is that you're going to change someone who is behaving this way. You're going to change them by showing them a better way. None of this is going to hurt you. None of this is going to, end your life. But it will show and bring shame to the one who can be shamed. Cultivating this general spirit, then, we simply avoid personal revenge. At the insults and the mistreatments, we control our pride and we control our temper. If we're insulted, we don't return the same. If things are taken away, then give away. Go 1 mile, go two, and let them know you're not going to fight them back over things that really don't matter. If you'll notice, none of this has to do with right and wrong as far as what the Bible has to say. This person is being evil. They are being selfish. And you don't fight selfishness with selfishness. What you end up doing is really bewildering and overcoming evil. They're looking for you to fight back. They're screaming at you. They want you to scream back at them. Don't do it. And it sets them back on their heels. And gives them pause to think. Just refuse to involve yourself in any of that. That's what the Lord is saying. And if you do that, you'll accomplish good in this life. The gentle spirit is not a weak spirit. It's not a compromising spirit. For the Lord's servant can't do that. But in our fighting the good fight of faith, we can be gentle. And not a person of strife. And what will happen, it's not merely I do not mean to downplay this, what I'm about to say. It's not just being like Jesus, as though that's a small thing. It's not. But just as Jesus has changed the hearts of many people by the way in which he approached the need for change, the woman at the well, how many examples can we bring about? Our purpose in this life is to bring about change in the lives of people who need to change. And we're going to accomplish that when we are like him. And being a gentle and meek spirit, that's how we're going to accomplish things as well. And that's our purpose here in this life. To be salt of the earth. To be a city set on a hill, light of the world. We're here to make people better. And to make people better, we have to be better people. By following the dictates and the life that Jesus set forth for us. If you're here today or you're joining us by electronic means and have a spiritual need that we can aid you with, we want to encourage you to let us know what that is. Let us know if we can help you get your life right with God or come back to the Lord if that need is necessary as well. It's an opportune time. We sing this song to encourage you, and we hope that it will bring about movement in your heart as we stand and sing. What?